Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. This week we're studying, in part of our series Pioneer Story about the Book of Acts, we're studying what happened when the very first Christians encountered some pagan people, people who believed in multiple gods. The story we're studying is when Paul and Barnabas, two early Christian leaders, went to a town, a small town named Lystra. They went to the public square, intending to point people to Jesus, intending to point people to the one true God. Instead, what happens is they heal a man, and everybody looks at them. Everybody looks at Paul and Barnabas and says, these must be gods. And they start worshiping them like they're part of the Greek pantheon of gods, Zeus and Hermes. And it's just a mess. And so Paul and Barnabas have to go running down to the temple of Zeus, saying, please stop everything. And they're tearing their clothes. They're so upset by this because their intention was to point people to God. And instead, people are looking at them and pointing at them, and that was never the point. So now today we're going to study what they said to the crowd to try to stop them from following through with their sacrifice of bulls to gods Zeus and Hermes, who they thought had arrived in their small town. Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways, yet he did not leave himself without witness. For he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Even with those words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifice to them. Now, what's notable here is that Paul and Barnabas start their proclamation of the good news about Jesus in a very different place than before. See, usually with Jewish audiences, they went to a synagogue, people who knew Judaism, and they'd talk about Jewish history, the history of the Old Testament, and then they would reveal how Jesus was the fulfillment of all that. But today, they're not in that context. They're in Lystra. They're in a town full of pagan people, not Jewish people. And so what they do is they start with the natural world, and they say, you know what, you people are worshiping things. You're worshiping idols and statues at temples, and you're worshiping stuff. But who made the stuff? A living God. You should worship a living God. They point to nature, and they point to nature's life, how nature is alive, and they say, you know, why would you worship a statue for making something living? That doesn't make sense. We humans, what made us? Don't worship us. Worship the one that made us. See, their point is really that the creature is meant to point us to the creator. The creature itself is not the creator. But that's exactly what the people of Lystra have been doing. They see a couple creatures do some amazing things, and instead of seeing the creator behind it, they see the creatures and they start worshiping them, and Paul and Barnabas don't want any part of that. They want to point them to the true creator of it all, the creator of every human being and of everything we see. Paul says that the natural world we see around us with all its beauty and wonder and the goodness it provides to us is evidence that it was created by not an inanimate object, but a God who loves us and cares for us. Loves us enough to actually give us freedom to love him or not. Which means that when we did rebel against God's love, when we did push him away, he didn't suddenly, pull back on our freedom and say, oh, I was just pretending now that you've actually used it. But no, he honored his promise to love us and to create us with freedom to love him or not. He honored that and allowed us, as Paul says, to go our own way, to allow the nations to go our own way, even when that meant nations started worshiping stuff that God had made and stuff that they'd made themselves. God allowed it to go on. And that's evidence of who God is, that God is a loving and caring God who cares enough not to just destroy his people and deprive them of rain, deprive them of food and water because they've rebelled against him, but rather a God who abides with us and sticks with us through thick and thin. God who's made a covenant promise to us. That's what Paul wants them to see. Not just that a God created everything, but a certain kind of God, a loving, committed God. He also wants them to see that if Paul and Barnabas seem to be worth worshiping as two men, imagine how much more worthy of worship the God who created them would be. They kind of take advantage of the situation. If people think that they're Zeus and Hermes, then okay, they're going to basically say, well, who created us? And they're going to point them to their god. If this is a god who's good enough for Zeus and Hermes to believe in, he must really be an incredible god. And so they use what's happening here to point the people who are worshiping false gods, even worshiping Barnabas and Paul, and they point them to the one true God, and they say, that's the one worth worshiping. You can trust us. We're Zeus and Hermes. I don't think that's exactly how it happened, but I think some people probably perceived it that way, even if Paul and Barnabas weren't doing it on purpose. The takeaway point that Paul and Barnabas want to make is that there is one true God. He just wants them to get thinking about that. Because they're not a Jewish audience, he's got to start at the basics. He wants them to at least be thinking that there might be one true God and to want to seek after knowing that God, not just a pantheon of little gods with little portfolios. He wants them to be thinking big. He wants them to be looking for that one true God, and then he can help them see who that is, that it's the God of Israel, that it's the God who came to earth as Jesus Christ. Well, we've got a question for you to think about today and hopefully discuss with some friends, neighbors, colleagues, or maybe people from the commute. How would you explain God to someone with a completely different worldview? What examples would you give to explain the God you believe in? We'll have a great discussion. And don't forget, we read the Bible in sync as one community, so check our website or app to see what Bible passage we're all reading today. Have a great one. I'll see you tomorrow.